You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hey, my name is Chad. I'm a pastor here on staff, and of course, I'm going to continue our series. Wow, it's bright. I'm going to get a suntan up here. I really appreciate you guys having me speak this morning, and I'm thankful that I get to speak this morning to you guys. And I'm going to continue our series. We're going to be going through the movie Cinderella Man. Anybody seen it? What a great movie. And it's funny that Candace mentioned, like, we've just been doing a whole bunch of sports movies. But I just want to encourage all the nerds in the room. Pastor Andrew will be on the pulpit next week. And he will be doing, I think he's doing like the Mr. Rogers documentary or movie or something. So you guys can eat out your hearts next week. You know, before we begin, I just kind of want to mention something that I was reminded of. A pastor friend of mine reminded me of a saying that Jesus said quite a bit after his sermons. And he says this, and I've preached on it before, but he says, they have eyes to see, but they don't see. They have ears to hear, but they don't hear. And as I'm thinking and contemplating about this and remembering what my friend said, is that Jesus had people that listened to him, but didn't really get what he was saying. And this morning I want to say this. As you're listening this morning, it's not about what we hear this morning, but it's about how we're positioned to hear it, okay? God is going to speak to you this morning. And this, and of course, I don't want you to be distracted by all the video clips and the popcorn and all this kind of stuff, because God actually expects us to listen in a certain way. He expects us to listen to being ready to respond. And so I'm going to say a bunch of things this morning, and I'm going to speak to your soul, but the Spirit of God is here speaking to your spirit, and he can take whatever I'm saying today and begin to individualize it for every single person in this room. And the way that we hear properly is that we are ready to respond to that. So whatever you want, God. You guys with me? So, Father, I just pray that you would continue to speak to us this morning. As I talk today, God, I pray that you would help edit the words and to move my words in a way that speaks to each individual. And, Father, we just are before you, and we pray, God, that you'd help us be good soil, people who are not just hearing and listening to the words, but ready to respond to what you have for us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Pastor Roger and Donnie, they did the movie 42, and there was a part of this, the movie clips that really stuck out to me. You guys remember when the manager, Mr. Ricky, he was saying, I need someone to have, you know, he's like, or Jackie Robinson stands up and he says, do you want a player who doesn't have the guts to fight back? And Mr. Ricky says, I want a player that has the guts not to fight back. And that made me just think about what I was going to speak to you guys today. And of course, I'm going to talk about the fight. And fighting's not always this physical altercation or tussle. Or, I can't believe I just said tussle. Hopefully this isn't being aired on Facebook or anything. But this physical altercation, but there's actually other means of fighting. It made me think, and they actually use this passage as well in Ephesians. And Ephesians 6 says this, is for we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, and against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And you know, as I think about Scripture, I think through even the entire Bible. You know, the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation, do you know it talks about fighting quite a bit? Of course, in the beginning, right, the Old Testament, there was a lot of physical altercations. God's actually moving people to take the promised land and with swords and shields. And thankfully, because of Jesus, that physical part of the fighting is fulfilled through him. But God is still establishing his kingdom, and he's actually still moving his people into the promised land, which is the kingdom of God. And so even though our fight looks different, we never stop fighting. And so my hope today is to encourage you guys to fight the good fight. It's mentioned all through the New Testament about fighting. It labels it different as we look at it. It's labeled as the race, the fight, the battle, trials and temptations. But Hebrews, right, talks about a race. 2 Timothy talks about a race and also the fight. James talks about there's trials of many kinds that come at us to hold on. Romans talks about, like, this suffering in the middle of the fight. Corinthians talks about we are to run this race in a certain way. And, of course, the book of Revelation is speaking to the churches. And almost every time after it speaks to a specific church, the church had to overcome something. And it says, if you overcome this, you will be blank. It'll have some type of reward there. And the rewards are like eternal life, purity, all these different things. And so we see all through the Bible, but especially in the New Testament, that our fight does not end. And I know that we love our cliches and our American Christianity where we're saying, Jesus, come into my life, when we say the phrase, right? Come into my life, be the Lord and Savior of my life. And I'm not dismissing that at all, because salvation, that's a beautiful thing. But salvation doesn't end there. That's the beginning. And so we see that the fullness of salvation, right, is worked out in the struggling and the pushing of the enemy of our souls. Did you know that there is an enemy that is trying to steal your salvation? There is an enemy that is trying to steal your faith. And if we're not ready to fight, if we're not ready to go forward with God's truth and holding on to those things, I've seen it happen. I've seen people. The Bible talks about people who have shipwrecked their faith. And I'm sure you guys can think about, too, people who made the commitment, Jesus, come into my life, and have now totally turned their back from Jesus. And what is that? It's because we have an enemy ready to steal from us. And so my issue is, I'm tired of seeing Christians get beat up. I'm tired of seeing Christians being put in corners that they're not supposed to be. My hope is that today there would be a tenacity and a grit imparted to you in the spirit that says, you know what, even though you're taking your swings and the enemy's taking his swings on us, but I'm going to do my best to fight back, right? I may lose the fight, right? But you're going to know that I'm there. And I want people to rise up and have that type of tenacity. I asked Candace to read a portion of this book because I'm a terrible reader and I didn't want you guys to hear my stuttering all the way through. I got one laugh over there. But this book, Surrendering All, I don't know if you guys have heard of the story of the Cordero family that has been, this is really close to the heart of Koinonia. This is a story about hope in the middle of despair. And Allison Cordero, who passed away, this is a story of how God has divinely worked in their family's life. And even in the midst of all this despair, that this family fought back. And there's this beginning part of the book that before Allison gets into one of the biggest fights of her life, which is dealing with leukemia, she learned how to fight before that. And I want Candace to read a portion of this book, because I want a little bit of what Allison had to be imparted to us. And so, Candace, would you, I marked the page there for you. Oh, no, I didn't. It's the wrong one. Oh, no, it's the right one.
One day, Allison came into our office while I was editing. She was pale and visibly shaking. "I'm bleeding," was all she could say. We rushed to the doctor only to discover Eliana Joy Cordero left this world before she could even be born into it. The child we barely knew existed, who we never got to know or hold, had died. The days to come were filled with such bitterness and sharp sadness. It seemed so unfair that Eliana met her heavenly father before meeting her earthly one. How do you mourn someone you've never met? How is it possible to love a stranger so furiously and hurt so miserably over their death? How do you combat loss with happy memories when you've never had the opportunity to make any? Allison and I were broken, but we still reached out to God for comfort and consolation. Allison found solace in worship dancing. Our church worship team planned to do the song Oceans by Hillsong less than 2 weeks after the miscarriage, and Allison was to perform it as the sole dancer. The date to perform it had been scheduled weeks before the miscarriage took place, and while Allison knew everyone on the worship team would understand if she canceled, she also knew that her dancing was not for any earthly audience. A portion of the song lyrics say, "Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my God or my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. And I'll call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine." For Allison, to dance was an act of defiance, that her joy would not be stolen, her hope to bring life into the world one day would not be broken, and her trust in her Heavenly Father would not be shaken.
What a powerful statement that is, that she took it as her continuing to dance, right, for God, was an act of defiance, that her joy would not be stolen. I think of that song that you guys heard, that the children's song, that I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. I think of that, that we need to have Christians that aren't afraid to swing back, right? When the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy, guess what? We're going to begin to breathe hope, faith, and life into those situations. And I know there's people here this morning that have been hit pretty good. And my encouragement, hopefully the impartation of today's sermon would be that you would hit back. And the movie that I'm doing, Cinderella Man, is exactly about that, right? A boxer named Jim Braddock. He is actually, this is a real life story, right, of a man who fought during the Great Depression, so the 1920s. And in the 1929, he actually rose up pretty quickly, and he had a heavyweight bout, which he ended up losing by decision. But he had a reputation of having this iron jaw and this strong right-handed punch. And he was really a crowd favorite, and the New Jersey loved him. And so this is a story about him and how the Great Depression hit, like, right after he had the championship fight. And not only did the Great Depression and all the things that brought with it, right, many families lost everything that they had and began to move out of their homes into places like the ghetto and places that of impoverished people, and into places like the Hoovervilles that they've created, and just these really impoverished situations. But then also his career started to take a hit. And so this first scene that we're going to watch, and hopefully it works, if not, we'll just move on. But this first scene that we're going to watch is Jim at one of his lowest points, is that he just got done with a fight and they decommissioned him. And so not only are they poor and broke, now he lost his way of providing for his family. So let's watch the scene. Thank you. beginning to want to fight, but have you ever been at a place like that? I'm not just talking about issues financially, but it could be something with your physical health, your emotional health. But it seems like whatever you do, you just can't win. Seems like things are falling apart and things are just going in ways that you never expected. And those things could totally be things that are from the outside coming in, but also could be self-inflicted wounds from habits that you have participated over and over and in, and just feel like you can't win, you can't get out of this. And if you've felt like that, then you are at a place where Jim has been. And today my notes are kind of structured in a way of talking about the attack of the enemy and then our counter to that attack. And the attack that happens typically when we are in this moment of nothing is going right, everything is falling apart, is what we have this attack and this thought that comes against us is that God is against us. And what is our counter to that? And our counter is knowing the Word of God, is knowing how to use the weapon. Do you know that of course, there's other offensive things we have as Christians, right? We could worship, we could have gratitude, but all those things are empowered by the Word of God. That when we worship with the Word of God, or when we have gratitude with the Word of God in our heart, that's what actually gives the power punch to the enemy. And you guys heard this all the time, and probably some of the truth that I'm going to share with you isn't going to be some like this big revelation. And we talk about it all the time to get to know your Word of God, but the Word of God is so important. Ephesians calls it the sword that we have. Hebrews talks about that it's sharper than any double-edged sword, that it can begin to split things that are inseparable. The Word of God is so important to have in our hearts and on our lips because it is the most powerful offensive weapon that we have to attack back to God. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says this, For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are weapons not of this world. On the contrary, we have been given divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. Christ, the living Word, right? Taking these thoughts, right, of God is against me and say, no, that's not true. You guys remember when Jesus, or if you've read this, right, Jesus is in the wilderness, and at the end of the 40 days, he's completely famished, and Satan comes. And Satan, he begins to challenge Jesus and say, hey, do this. There's three challenges in there. And do you know what Satan uses to try to convince Jesus? He uses Scripture. And knowing how to use Scripture well, just like Jesus, you're able to, this is the truth, right? And begin to divide the things. Because did you know that we could actually use Scripture in a self-harmful way? Now, knowing how to use your weapon well is going to help us recognize the attack of the enemy and to avoid self-inflicting issues. I want to wake you guys up. I breathed a little too hard. Avoid self-inflicting wounds and the character assassination of God. The trials, James actually talks about this. James, there's a passage, first chapter of James, he says, consider it pure joy, brothers, when trials of many kinds come to you. And he continues to say, don't think that God tempts you. But actually, God is a God that brings all good things that come from heaven. And actually, as he's talking about these trials and tribulations, he's actually helping people recognize what isn't God and what is God. And see how when we become attacked by the enemy, he's going to begin to even pull up truths, half-truths that will try to convince us. And if we don't know how to combat that, right, we're going to be destroyed. I've seen it all the time. There's this passage. Have you guys ever heard this? Right? God's not going to give you more than you can handle. Who's heard that? Did you know that's not in Scripture? Talk to Job, right? Talk to the prophets and the disciples who were martyred and murdered because of Jesus, right? That's a very shallow reading of 1 Corinthians 10 if we think that God is not going to give us more than we can handle. That's actually talking about temptation there. You can go back and study that if you want to try to prove me wrong. But we want to avoid some of those self-inflicting wounds, knowing how to wield our sword properly so we don't assassinate or cut off our faith muscles and we don't assassinate the character of God. So this next scene right here, I think I got that point across to you pretty well. But that next scene right here is going to be a scene about Jim. He's hitting an all-time low. Did you know we can do all the right things? We can keep the faith and still feel like and have this loss in front of us? That sometimes there is this feeling that we came up short. And what do we do in the middle of coming up short when we've done all the things? We've kept the tenacity, we hit back, we kept the faith, and yet we come up short. And so I believe that there's a principle in this next scene that we can extract. So let's watch that next scene.
Thank you.
attack here that the enemy tries to use when we're going through difficult times, when we've hit our rock bottom, is continuing to think that we can do it by ourselves. And the counter to that is, before we even get into the fight, we need to build a team around us. Do you know the best type of fighters in the world have the best teams around them? The coaches and all the guys that help him train. And again, this is another truth we talk about all the time in the church, right? And it's not just getting about people around you to support you, because we all have that to some extent, but it's about getting the right people around you so that they can begin to speak God's life into you. And I want to ask you the question, do you have a team like that? You know, I feel so blessed preparing this message, because kind of my process in preparing this message is I kind of self-loathe and I kind of beat myself up. It's really kind of this, I call it wrestling, but I'm wrestling with the Word of God, and I kind of beat myself up a little bit during the process of it. And do you know how many people and close friends that I've had come up to me and begin to pray for me and remind me of who I am? This morning, I was walking actually even here, and I had some friends in the parking lot interceding for our church this morning, and they just prayed over me. They actually lifted my arms, and they reminded me of a passage, and they began to speak life into me. Now, I know that there are people in this room that have good people in our circles, but do they have life-giving ability? Can they get empowered by the divine to speak not just good things, but the right things to you in the time that you need it? I'm holding this book because actually the front cover, which I don't know if Josh has described before, this is actually a prophetic message that one of their friends has given them. And this prophetic message, and all through their challenge, through all of this, they had people speaking timely, godly words into them that gave them the strength to fight when they couldn't fight. When they were down and out, they had people to rise up and fight for them. There's something powerful about when godly people get together, that there is a breakthrough and a fight and almost this carrying of the person going through the hard times. And so secondly, right, I want to speak to those who are being friends, to those who are going through the fight right now. Are you that type of friend? Are you the type of friend that's putting money in the hat, providing the way, or are you the ones looking away? Right? Has your life been positioned in a way to be a godly friend to somebody else? Can you tap into the divine? Can you get the word from heaven to speak into their life, to give them a second breath going into the fight? Because that's what I would encourage you guys to do. We need to have the right people, and we need to be the right people so that people can continue to fight. And of course, I'm skipping over a bunch of notes so we have enough time here, but Luke 5, it talks about the friends who lifted their paralytic friend down from the roof. Sometimes there's just things we can't do, and we need our friends to do it for us. And so this next scene that's coming up is because Jim, right? Jim was a prideful man, and pride in a good way, but either way, it still has its consequences of having pride. And now his friend, Paul Giamatti, who's actually his boxing manager, knows what this guy is going through, and he begins to kind of go on the offensive side for him and try to do some things for him. And so this next scene is actually Jim and Paul Giamatti, his manager, coming up to him and offering him a fight. So let's watch that really quick.
Good to see you, Jimmy.
the last fight that Jim was in, he was humiliated. They actually called the fight like in the scene we seen. And one of the attacks that I think comes from the enemy when we've just been beat up for so long is that we can have the temptation to take on the role of the victim. We can allow all of our defeats to begin to define us. And even when opportunities arise, we decide not to take them because we have this defeated attitude about us. And one of the best counters that we can have is, it's choosing to trust God, but it's keeping your composure, right? The best athletes in the world, and the reason they're able to do this, we see it all the time, but one of the ingredients to that is keeping your composure under pressure. And knowing how to trust God even when you don't see it, even though you don't see how he's working, even though you don't know or feel how he's working, but to trust God in the middle of that. Jim, I mean, he made $250 on this fight, but the scene at the very beginning of the movie, he's bringing $8,000 in for one fight. It's very easy to allow the circumstances and the things that we used to do begin to define us and that we would miss the opportunities that are right in front of us. But I love Jim's attitude here because as it goes on, he goes into the ring with the number two contender of the world, and he's getting it taken to him a little bit, but he begins to hit this guy back, right? And he hits him in a way, and I love this one scene because he hits him so hard, and the guy kind of looks like shocked, and he says, "Welcome to New Jersey." And I just love this attitude, right, of like, nobody thinks I'm going to win this. Everybody's counting me out. You're bigger than me. You have a better fight. You're a better fighter than me. But guess what? Welcome to New Jersey. And he actually ends up winning that fight, and it just becomes this tumbling effect of him winning fight after fight after fight until he begins to go to the champion, the heavyweight championship of the world. And it's because he continued to fight. He kept his composure that whatever was happening. You know, Josh Cordero, who wrote this book, said something profound to me that he says, as I began to choose trusting God again, God actually gave me a heavenly perspective. And he actually has a really cool story of God kind of taking him back to when they were in the room where his wife died and God showing him a different picture for that day than the one he felt. And he says that he believes that that has happened because, you know, at first I couldn't see it. There's too much cloud and smoke around for me to understand what was happening in the heavenly realm. But as I began to trust God again and trusting him day by day by day, God began to give me a heavenly perspective. This is so important to trust God, to choose to trust God, even though we cannot see it, because God will impart to us a heavenly perspective. This last scene that we're going into is that they would, one other thing that Josh would say is that, of course, when we're in these fights, and it's okay to he said that him and Allison made this kind of, promise to each other that they would allow themselves to visit the places of despair, but they didn't allow themselves to stay in those places of despair. And I think when we're going through it, of course we can visit those places. It's okay to have emotions. It's okay to visit those, but that's not a place we choose to stay. We can choose to stay in the joy of the Lord and in the hope of God. Philippians 2, this is one of my first passages that I memorized during an internship as a youth. But it says, "Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that we may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." It's so easy for misery to be contagious, right? Misery is contagious. But if we can begin to continue to keep our composure, to keep without grumbling and arguments against God, and just continue to trust him, that we will shine like the stars in the heavens. This final scene is Jim is about to go into his final fight, the championship round, and the guy that he's fighting actually killed two people in the ring. And so everybody's concerned about this. His wife's concerned about it. She actually kind of was telling him, "Don't do this, Jim," kind of thing. But here we see the scene where she has a revelation. She goes back, and Jim is kind of having a hard time. Well, you'll watch it. Well, let's watch the scene. voice of the enemy is going to try to accuse you and give you a false sense of who you are and breathe fear into you. But God, the voice of truth, which is our counterattack, wants to remind you who you are. You're a child of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this is so important. I don't know who's closing today, but as they come up, I'm going to close out the service here. And as I was praying for you guys, I actually thought of three different people in Scripture. And these three different people in Scripture got beat up pretty good. And they got beat up so good that they actually ran away and were hiding. And the first one, I actually mentioned this last week, was Hagar in Genesis 16. And she was beat up, but she was a slave that was beat up and ran away. And God spoke to her and empowered her to go back. And then I thought of the woman at the well who was actually went to the well early or later in the afternoon, I can't remember, but at a time where everyone else didn't go because she was embarrassed for the life that she lived. And Jesus spoke into her, and guess what? She became an evangelist and actually spoke to the town and brought the town back. And then lastly, I think of Peter, godly man who betrayed Jesus. And Jesus comes back from the dead. He restores him, fills him with the Holy Spirit. And the same man who denied him in front of crowds began to preach to the crowds and preach salvation to thousands of people. He actually ended up dying a martyr's death. So here we see people who have just been beat up through all Scripture. Yet when Jesus or God spoke into them, they had a completely different identity. And it's so important. Will you guys stand with me as I close? It's so important that we do not listen to the falsehood and the lies of the enemy breaking you down. Listen, I've read through Scripture quite a few times, and I always see this. Even though sometimes, yes, God says some harsh things, there's always the hope of reconciliation. So if you hear today in your mind a condemning voice without the hope of reconciliation, without the hope of redemption, you're not hearing the voice of God. You're hearing the condemning voice of the enemy. And God always brings reconciliation. He always brings hope. If you're hearing condemnation without anything else, that's legalism, but if you begin to hear the voice of God in redemption and hope, that's the gospel. And so this morning, what are you hearing today? What's going through your mind? Because the Holy Spirit wants to fill your mind with things, what God says and who He calls you. And so I'm just going to pray us out. But is there anybody in here just feels like beat up, right? Is there anybody that feels beat up and just wants to be spoken life into by the Holy Spirit, right? Come on, there's some hands today. So, Father, I just pause in this moment because I can say good things, but, Father, You say the things that empower us. And so I pray, Father, that there would be a breakthrough, Father, a breakthrough in strongholds, a breakthrough in mindsets right now, God, as I pray. Father, that You would speak to the individuals that need hope. Remind them of who they are, God. I pray that today they would get a text they would be reminded of a scripture, or You would speak directly to them, God, and remind them of the child You've called them to be. Remind them of the calling that is upon their life. Jesus, today speak to them. Give them encouragement. Help them be fighters. Help us all be fighters, God. Help us to remember the word of God. Help us to keep the right attitudes. Help us to build and ask and build a life that has friends around it that fight with us. And of course, God, help us to always remember who we are. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kcinghamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.